Are you just going to stand there eating that sushi all night? You haven't even looked at my photorealistic macaroni sculptures.
It's Who Arted with Creative Messiah, Amy Ralphini.
Welcome back, Amy.
Hey.
Are you doing it yet again this morning?
Yet again, I am in the studio. How about that?
Interesting. Oh, we got Who Arted happening right now, and we have Campbell Hegan in the studio. How are you?
Good, thanks.
Awesome. We're talking about your exhibition that's coming on with a group exhibition called an obesive purist.
Obsessive.
Obsessive.
Yeah, I've written it wrong. I'm so sorry.
An obsessive pursuit. There we go.
I just wanted to trip you up. Get everyone relaxed. It's how we warm up in the studio these days. Okay, so Campbell, hi. You began making pots whilst working in theatre and television. You used to present the children's TV show Play School, and it was during this time that you built your first kiln, 100 cubic feet, in Waiatarua, completing it in 1972. Now, when I first read this, I immediately imagined Humpty made of pottery with big red clay stomach and lovely green glazed pants. Did you ever make a ceramic Humpty?
Didn't happen. No. Oh. That wasn't really my area of interest.
Do you think that there is any correlation between working in media and then maybe needing to get away from the farce of it all and focusing on such an earthen craft?
I don't know necessarily. I mean, I know that I wanted to make something express something much more concrete and permanent, perhaps. You know, it's perhaps something to do with permanence. Oh. And also I'd been I was painting at the time and getting a lot of satisfaction from that, and then really tumbled into clay by accident.
That's interesting, because I was going to ask if you were presenting something like The Dog Show, if you maybe would have vented your creativity through another medium, like painting, which you do talk about a little bit later on.
Yes.
But you think maybe just you would have, your pottery, how did you stumble upon it?
It was just, I was actually working in television production, and somebody was working on an arts program and making some sculpture out of clay and said, here, try a bit of this, and I mucked around with it, and it was the kind of visceral nature of and the expressive power of clay that sort of hit me straight away, and I thought, gosh, this is actually perhaps more appropriate for me than paint.
During the early 70s, in the absence of tertiary opportunities, you more or less taught yourself, and by the 80s you'd set up a large open studio and gallery space in Devonport with your wife, Andy. Out of curiosity, what did you call the gallery?
Well, the whole building was called The Works. It was a cooperative. It was one of the first big open cooperatives where people come and watch the work being done in the window, so to speak.
Oh,
and,
cool.
And we all had showrooms. There was glass, furniture making, lead light, ceramics, toy making.
Yeah. Whereabouts in Devonport was it?
On the waterfront.
Is it still there? Is it the one with the big Cleopatra and the... No.
No, there is the big Cleopatra.
From 10 years ago.
I'm
referencing.
Actually, I think it is. That's the place you're talking about. The King Edward Parade opposite the pub.
Yeah. That's a very random reference.
So we had it for 10 years we ran that. And it was an incredibly popular place and a lovely place to work.
Yeah, I bet.
Devonport was a dream.
Yeah. During this period, you also wrote and presented two series of programs for TVNZ on ceramics in New Zealand, and became very involved in establishing tertiary opportunities for craft media studies throughout New Zealand. Craft media studies sounds incredibly specialised. Can you tell us about it? Is it craft media as in... Well, tell us about it.
Well, all the different media that craft is generally... the term craft generally encompasses, you know, ceramics, wood, jewellery, glass... furniture making, textile arts.
Yeah.
Now, there were virtually no tertiary opportunities in New Zealand at all. So at the time I was president of the Crafts Council, we started working with the Director General of Education and the government. They allotted us a bit of money to actually start something going in the tertiary system. Sadly, it was at the same time that there was this mad passion for regional development, so that the quantum of money, instead of being just put into, say, two institutions, was split up between 12, which in the end actually watered it down.
Yeah.
That It's come to a pretty sad end, really.
So, is there what kind of institutions are out there at the moment? Do you know for?
Well, there are opportunities in some of the polytechs.
Yeah.
There's a pretty good one in Otago.
Yeah.
And also, there's a places like the Auckland Studio Potters organisation in Onehunga. They have an outreach diploma course that runs out of Otago. There are also some opportunities to do some work in Elam and Ilam, but it's reasonably limited, and tutors are not really available there.
Do you know, do they have a kiln in Elam?
They probably do.
Yeah.
I'm not sure about that.
I can't remember. We have a little Elamite in the corner.
Yeah. I have had a couple of Elam students come and approach me to just show them a bit of stuff with ceramics.
Oh, you totally should do that. That'd be great. So all this work indirectly led you to an appointment as director of the
Sturt. Yeah.
I was like, is that Stuart? No, Sturt Australian Contemporary Design and Craft Centre in New South Wales in 1988. Mm. And whilst running that institution for a decade, you continued your own and relatively conventional ceramics practice, but increasingly began to explore more a way to combine your lifelong passion for abstract expressionist painting with your ceramic work. Who would you consider, in hindsight, to be the most influential abstract expressionists on the early development of your work in this area?
Oh, for me, without doubt, Willem de Kooning is the greatest influence of the lot. I mean, he was an extraordinary man, who started a very conventional art practice in Holland and then illegally shipped himself into the United States and worked tirelessly for years, not exhibiting, but solved a lot of the sort of universal expressive problems of art, and I think he did it more comprehensively than anyone else. Pollock's also a pretty big influence on me. And perhaps Robert Motherwell as well.
Okay, and so you've mentioned in your bio the influence of the New York Abstract Expressionist School. Can you please describe the actual aesthetics of that and talk about that a little bit for our listeners?
Okay, well,
just a summary describing.
I think the principal quality the thing that attracted, and it attracted me to it when I was about 10 years old or 9 years old, and my mother brought home a magazine. I think it was, I can't remember what the name of it was. It was a very popular one at the time. And de Kooning had just moved into his New York studio, and there was a picture of him standing in this painting in front of an enormous canvas with huge brushes. And he was just ploughing this. There was a series of colour photographs of him ploughing this paint on. And the first thing that occurred to me was, I want to be that man. And secondly, it was the kind of physicality, the action of painting, the expressiveness of it. And to me, that's the quality that I look for in painting, and it's the quality that I look for in my own ceramics.
Yeah, you see that in your work. It's got, you can see there's been, radiance action, basically.
I liked it. You know, I like to think that if you look at a piece of work long enough, it almost might move, you know.
That's cool.
The physicality is all there. It's expressed, it's felt, it's obvious.
Yeah, I love that. The mark-making ethos of some Japanese tea ceremony pieces and the philosophies behind which is centuries apart from the New York abstract expressionism have also informed your work. What is the mark-making ethos around parts of Japanese tea ceremony pieces, out of curiosity?
Okay, well, when you look at a lot of the really classical marked teapots, tea bowls, for example, you see just extremely spontaneous marks made that are sometimes, you can relate them to natural forms, they're even sometimes nature close, but at other times they're just gestures that in the most abstract way express a feeling or an idea. And I mean, that's the only previous example I can think of in art or in craft that's existed before the abstract expressionist. You can see things. I was looking at the paintings of Velázquez a couple of years ago in Madrid, and when you look very closely at them, you can see the incredible expressiveness in his brush strokes, and they're sometimes almost abstract.
Yeah.
But the abstraction makes the whole. But when you look at when you drill down into them, yeah, they're actually extremely...
The molecules, the yeah, molecules yeah, that make up the whole. Mm. So before we, just summing up, your ceramic work is energetic with a highly expressive use of vivid colour, and you often make objects that might have a use, although the function can end up being subverted in the interests of playing with materials, sometimes nudging them in counterintuitive ways. With highly energised and expressive surfaces, edges and forms being your constant objective, what can we expect to see on display in an obsessive pursuit?
Well, it's an interesting exhibition because it's a kind of snapshot of work that's been done on the North Shore from the beginning of the kind of renaissance of the craft movement and ceramics, particularly in the 1950s and 60s. And there is a number of people that have been basically working in that field. Some of us still going.
Yep.
I started in the 70s. Barry Brickell died just recently. He's got work going right back to the early 60s.
Wow, cool.
And there are also younger people that are doing work right now that are actually quite early on in their career.
Do you... there's also a floor talk on that this Sunday, isn't there?
That's right.
It's 3 p.m. Mm. This Sunday... That would be very, very interesting to go and check out. Now, just quickly, do you ever have any open studios at your studio?
My studio is actually open all the time.
Oh, that's fantastic.
By appointment, yeah.
Okay, so if people want to find out about that, you can actually email Campbell at gmail.com. Rather than announce it over here, if you're interested, just text the station and we'll let you know. Okay, well, An Obsessive Pursuit is on at North Art Gallery, Norman Queen's King Square in Northcote. It's on until the 3rd of May, and go to northart.co.nz for more info on that. And thank you so much for coming in and talking to us.
Thanks, Emma.
Ooh, I like this.
Tray chic.
Tray cool.
Touché.
Chin chin.
That was Who Arted with Amy Ralphini.